Record. Okay. So welcome. We are learning tonight Perek Tes of Shmuel Aleph. And we'll do about, I think, about half the Perek tonight. And we'll see about next week. I'm not 100%. Aseres Mei Tshuva. We might do something, more Aseres Mei Tshuva related, but we'll see. Stay tuned. So this Perek, certainly the first half, at first glance, seems very mundane, almost, not much going on, kind of a strange story, but we'll see that there is, of course, a lot of depth behind it, and, more than meets the eye, which, of course, in Tanakh is not uncommon. Okay, so last couple of prakim we learned about B'nai Yisrael's request for a king. We learned how Shmuel was not very happy about B'nai Yisrael's request. At the end, Hashem told him, listen, that's what they want. It's probably best for them at this point, and you got to find them one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel that I'm going to point out, who this king will be. and Shmuel tells everybody to go home, and he says, we'll figure this out. So Perek Tes continues with Shmuel's selection of this king. Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi ish mi Binyamin. There was a man from Binyamin. Ushmo Kish ben Aviel ben Sror ben Bechoras ben Afiach ben Ish Yemini Gibor Chaya. So there's a fellow named Kish. Kish was the son of Aviel. We trace his, lineage all the way back about five more generations. He was in Ben Ish Yemini. He was a Gibor Chayil.
Rabbi?
This
is not the same Kish that was the grandfather of Mordechai from the Purim story.
So it's a good question. I myself, when I saw this pasuk, quickly looked up that pasuk in the Megillah, because it says Mordechai ben Kish. Right. So I don't believe it's the same Kish, although there also it says Ishimini, right? But I don't believe it was the same person. I looked a little bit in Divrei Hayamim, because some of the Mefarshim here reference Divrei Hayamim, but it doesn't seem that they're the same person. And certainly none of the Mefarshim here that I saw discussed it. But it is an interesting parallel that you think of. Now it seems that the Ben Ish Yemini Gibor Chayil, right? Because you could read the pasuk as going all the way back, that the Gibor Chayil is going all the way back to this Ish Yemini, who's kind of like six generations back. Many of the Mefarshim understand that the Gibor Chayil, that Kish himself was a Gibor Chayil. The Gibor Chayil is going back on Kish. The Kish himself was a Gibor Chayil. Ben Ish Yemini, so the Mitzudas David says, just means that he was the son of a great man. Ish Yemini is not the name of a person. It's not a proper name, but it just means he was the son of a great man. Now, one thing that some of the Mefarshim talk about here is that it says that the fellow's name was Kish. His father's name was Aviel. The problem is that in Divrei Hayamim, you find that this person is named Ner, that the son of Tzror, who's the father of Kish, is named Ner in Divrei Hayamim. So what's his name? Is his name Aviel or is his name Ner? So the Malbim and other Mefarshim explain that really, the real name was Aviel. That was the real name, Aviel. Why was he called Ner? So Ner was a nickname because he had this habit of whenever it was dark, they didn't have street lights like we have. So whenever it was dark, he would go outside and he would light torches and light candles so that people could see. That was what he did, so that people could see. So he was a nice guy. And he went on a limb for other people to make sure that other people could see and other people could walk. Could walk around. The Malbim says that this is not a coincidence that Kish's father was this special fellow by the name of Aviel, who was a nickname there. But he says this is also, the Navi is beginning to tell us why Shaul HaMelech, was, oh, I'm sorry, why Shaul, he's not a melech yet, why Shaul was chosen to be the first melech. And reason number one, says the Malbim, is his yichus. It's his yichus. And here you have his grandfather, Aviel, was this special person who was totally dedicated to the klal and always wanted to help out, to help people out, help out the klal. And he had wonderful midos. And those good midos trickled down to his, presumably to his son, and to his grandson as well. And now, Shaul, we're about to learn that Shaul is the son of Kish, so he's the grandson of Aviel. Shaul has this great yichus that his grandfather is this big tzaddik who goes out of his way to help other people and make sure that other people can walk safely and can walk properly. Okay, so that's reason number one why Shaul was selected. You see here that he has special yichus. Pasuk Beis, Velo Haya Ben, this fellow Kish had a son, Ushmo Shaul. His name was Shaul. Bachur Vatov. Okay, so we'll see exactly what that means. Literally Bachur, like a Bachur. He was a young man. Vatov. He was a good person. Ve'ein ish mi b'nei Yisrael tov mi menu. So there was no one that was better than him. Mishich mova mala gavoa mikol ha'am. So from his shoulder and up, he was taller than everyone else in the nation. Now, so it's clear the Radak understands this, and the Mitzudas David also says here that the Pasuk is definitely referencing his physical looks. He was a good-looking guy. Shaul was a good-looking man. He was tall. He was taller than everybody else. He stood literally head and shoulders, right? I wonder if, by the way, I wonder if this is the origin of that phrase, head and shoulders above the crowd, you know, because that's what it says here, Mishich Mova Mala, right, from his shoulders and up. So maybe that's where it comes from, that he was head and shoulders above the crowd, but he was literally head and shoulders above everyone. He was taller than everyone else. He was a good-looking person. But the Malbim points out that even though he was a Bachar and he was a young person, and young people have a certain amount of energy and don't always are not always in the same control, not always in the same, as mature as everyone else. But the Malbim says, Bachur Vatov, means that despite the fact that he was a Bachar, despite the fact that he was a young man and had this energy and perhaps what would seem like a lack of maturity and refinement that sometimes older people have, but nevertheless, he was still Tov. He was still good. Good in the eyes of Hashem and good in the eyes of other people. Not only that, but Ve'ein ish mibnei Yisrael Tov mimenu means that no one else was better than him, not just good looking. Maybe he was the best looking guy around also. But in terms of midos tovos, in terms of good midos, in terms of refinement of character, he was the best, and so to speak, like the best and the brightest that Bnei Yisrael has to offer. And the Malbim says, even the Zakenim, even the elders of that generation were not on his Madrega, were not on the Madrega of Shaul. Says the Malbim, he had Gvura, right? Because as we read in the previous pasuk, his father was a Gibor Chayil. Kish was a Gibor Chayil. Says the Malbim, if Kish was a Gibor Chayil, chances are Shaul was a Gibor Chayil. So he had Gvura, he had courage, he had good midos, like we're describing now. He was the grandson of Aviel, who was nicknamed Ner because of his good midos. And here too we're saying that he was a Tov. Ein ish mibnei Yisrael Tov mimenu. And he also had good looks. He also was a very imposing looking person. He was a head and shoulders taller than everyone else. So therefore, says the Malbim, he was fit to be the king. All of these attributes together, he had the whole package. He had the whole package and he was fit to be the king. Now, this is a very important introduction to Shaul because, unfortunately, as we know, Shaul's kingdom does not end very well. Right? Most of us are familiar with the story. We read it in the Haftorah, Parsha Zachor. We read it in the Haftorah of Parsha Zachor. And it's a tragic ending. It's a tragic ending. He's supposed to kill out Amalek. He lets Agag, the king of Amalek, live. He violates Hashem's wishes. And Hashem tears the Malchus away from him. He tears the kingdom away from him. So it's a very tragic, sad ending. And when we think to ourselves, we just tell someone, what do you think of Shaul HaMelech? That's usually the picture that remains. Usually the picture that remains in our head is this picture of Shaul HaMelech, doing something wrong, violating Hashem's wishes, That's very often the picture that we have in our head. I remember I got, we brought my kids. There's a fellow, he's like an actor who puts out these kids tapes, you know, audio tapes for kids. And his name is, he calls himself Rebbe Hill. Rebbe Hill. Okay. And he puts out all these audio tapes for kids. His son is actually, his father is Stephen Hill. You might know the name Stephen Hill, right? He's an actor. I think he was on Law and Order. He's a Baal Tshuva. So his son is a frum guy. He grew up frum. So he's, but he has, I guess he has the acting genes in, you know, in his blood. So he puts out these kids tapes and he calls himself Rebbe Hill. So Rebbe Hill, he likes to put out things that have to do with Tanakh and have to do with Jewish history. They're very, very entertaining for the kids. And they teach the kids a lot about the history and a lot about the stories in Tanakh. And they're entertaining also. So I remember we were playing in the car. He has one about Shaul and David. And it stuck out in my mind because every time he would talk about Shaul, he would emphasize, you know, Shaul is the biggest tzaddik. He's a tzaddik yisod olam. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved him. He was such a great person. Midos tovos. He would, you know, focus so much on the positive. And I, you know, I'm wondering to myself as I'm hearing this, you know, why is he? It almost sounds like he's going overboard. You know, all these this shevach and all of this praise about Shaul and how great he was and how special he was. Then I realize it's because Shaul has a bad rap, because of how Shaul's kingdom and life ends in a very tragic way. So Shaul has a bad rap that he's not such a great guy, and you know, he did something wrong and he violated Hashem's wishes. So it's almost like a sad reputation that Shaul has. But in reality, we see here, he was a great person and he was a tzaddik. Did he do something wrong at the end of his life? You know, yes, he did something wrong. He messed up and he didn't listen to Hashem. He kept Agag alive when he should have killed him. So in that regard, he did something wrong. But at the same time, you know, to Chas V'Shalom think that he was some sort of a wicked person or a Rasha, you know, or you know, a king that was no good, that was selfish. Chas v'shalom. That's not the case. He was a bachur vatov. Ein ish mi bnei Yisrael tov mi menu. Right? These are powerful words. That even the elders of bnei Yisrael were not greater than him. He was greater than everyone else around. That's, I think, an important perspective, and maybe that's why the psukim here at the beginning, when we're first introduced to Shaul, emphasize this point of how great he was, how, you know, the midos tovos that he had, to show that despite what's going to happen later, despite the fact that his kingdom and his life will end tragically, nevertheless, we have to keep in mind that he was a great person, he was a tzaddik. Later, he made some mistakes, right? Even great tzaddik can make mistakes, and unfortunately had to pay for those mistakes. But at the same time, to recognize who he was and that he really was a tzaddik. Okay. Now here's where we have this seemingly strange story of how Shaul ends up meeting Shmuel. Pasuk Gimel. Vatovadna ha'asonos l'kish avi Shaul. Kish loses his donkeys. Right? Seriously, that's the story, right? Kish loses his donkeys. He's got these donkeys, and the donkeys wander off. Right? They're Kish's donkeys. They wander off, and he can't find them. So what does he do? Vayomer Kish el Shaul beno. So Kish turns to his son Shaul, and he says to him, Kach na itcha es echad mehane arim. Go take one of the servants, go take one of these young guys, v'kum leich bakesh es ha'asonos. And go, do me a favor, go look for these donkeys. Donkeys wander off, I can't find them. Go look for the donkeys. Okay? Now, I'm going to read through the psukim, and then we'll go back and read it with a little more depth. Because at face value, it seems very simplistic, and like I said, a very simplistic storyline here. Pasuk Dalet, Vayavur v'har Ephraim. So they cross into the mountains of Ephraim. Vayavur v'eretz Shalisha. They go to this land called the Shalisha land. The Radak says that means it was in the south. V'lo matzo, and they couldn't find them. Vayavur v'eretz Sha'alim v'ayin. They went in this land called Sha'alim, which the Radak says means it was like the broken land. I guess it was not a great land, and things were, you know, maybe it wasn't good farming land there. Still couldn't find no sign of the donkeys. And they went to the Eretz Yemini, to the lands of Binyamin, and they still couldn't find them. Okay, so what do they do? Heima pasuk hey, heima bo bi Eretz Tzuf. So they end up in this place called Tzuf. V'sho'ul amar den aro. Now Rashi points out that the reason why this place was called Tzuf, Tzipia, like we know Tzipita, Tzipisa li Yeshua, Tzifia or Tzofa means to see. So it was called Suf because this was close to the home of Shmuel. Shmuel was the Navi. The Navi is the seer, right? He's the seer. He's the one that sees things, sees in the future. So because this place was close to Shmuel's home, so that's why it was called the land of Tzuf. Okay, so they end up in this place, the land of Tzuf, which is right near Shmuel's home. V'shol amar lanaro. Shol says to his servant Asherimo, "L'chavin ashuva." He says, "Let's go home. You know, we're all over the place here. We've been looking all over. We went to the Har Ephraim. We went to the Eretz Shalisha. We went to the Eretz Shalim. We went to the Eretz Yemini. You know, we're going high. We're searching high and low. No sign of the donkeys." Shol says to his young servant, "Let's get out of here. Let's just go home. You know, we can't find them." And not only that, but pen yechdal avi min ha'asonos v'dag lanu. He says at a certain point, my father's going to get worried about us. So he's going to stop worrying about the donkeys. He's going to be more worried about us. So we got to get back. We can't just search for the donkeys all day, endlessly. Okay. Pasuk vav, vayomelo. So he says, so the nar, this young slave, this young servant responds to Shaul, hinei no ish elokim bo'ir hazos. He says, one second. You know, there's a man of God in this city. It's referring to Shmuel, obviously. There's a Navi, there's a man of God in this city. The Ha'ish Nichbad. And he's an honorable person. He's a chashuv, a distinguished person. Kol lashon yedaber bo yavo. Everything that he says comes true. Ata ne'lach Hashem ulai yagid lanu es darkeinu asher halachnu aleha. And the young servant says to Shaul, suggests, why don't we go and pay Shmuel a visit? And maybe he'll be able to help us and guide us to our lost donkeys. He's a Navi after all, so maybe he can help us with these lost donkeys. Now the Radak just points out, it's kind of strange here because it says he's a chosh of a person. Kol asher yidab rabo yavo. Everything that he says comes true. Isn't that true about every Navi? I mean, a Navi MS. Now, I'm not talking about a Navi Shek here, right? Not a false Navi, not a false prophet. But a real Navi MS, a real true Navi, isn't that always true that everything that he says comes true? So why are we, why is the Pasuk making
not always in the direct sense?
You what do you mean? I mean, if he's a true Navi, it should come true, no? His Nevuah. So the Radak says, that if you remember, when Shmuel came onto the scene, so the Radak says that there were not many Nevi'im around, right? There were not many Nevi'im around. Shmuel was one of the first Nevi'im to come along in a long time. And until then, you had maybe sorcerers that were there, but there were no real Nevi'im. So the concept of a Navi MS being present, giving Nevuah, and his words coming true always, was actually a novel concept. This was something new. This didn't really exist too much before Shmuel. So that's why the Pasuk is making a point of this, that this is something unique, right? Meaning, relatively speaking, that all of a sudden we have this real, true prophet that whatever he says is going to come true. Okay. So that's the suggestion of the servant. Let's go to make it pay a visit to this Navi Shmuel. Maybe he can help us find our donkeys. Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Shaul l'Na'aro. So Shaul says to the servant, "V'hinei ne'lech." He says, "How can we go? Uman Navi lo'ish. What are we going to bring him? You know, you go to see a Navi, you go to see a distinguished person. You got to bring something. You got to bring an offering. You got to pay him or something. You know, you got to bring something. Yalechem ozal mikeleinu. So we don't even have any more bread. You know, we're out of food. Uteshura ayin lahavi lo'ish ha'elokim ma'itanu." He says, and we don't have any teshura. Teshura is like an offering. We have no offering to bring to him. You know, we don't have anything. So how can we go visit him without anything to offer? Now the Mefarshim point out here, Rashi points out that it's not like Shmuel charged, you know, people to come visit. You know, it's not like Shmuel. Shmuel was a Navi. He was a Navi. He was a person that people came presumably for Pesach Halacha, maybe for Eitzas, for Nevuah. You know, people came to him. But so Rashi says that, of course, Shmuel didn't charge anything. But Shaul didn't know that. He didn't know who Shmuel was. It's interesting, right? Shaul didn't know who Shmuel was. And he thought, you know, we're going to a person who's a prophet. He's going to tell us something. He's providing a service. We got to pay him. We got to give him something. The Tudas David says, if we had food, we could bring him food. We don't even have any food, right? The Radak says, you know, even if we have a little money left, but we need the money to buy food. So we have nothing to give him, nothing. Pasuk Ches, by Yosef Hanar Lano says Shaul. So the Nar, this young servant, continues, you know, bugging Shaul. By Yomer, he named Nimtzav Yodi Reva Shekel Kesef. He says, you know what? I have some change. I have a quarter of a silver shekel. Okay? And Rashi says that it was equal to one zuz. In a shekel, you have four zuzim. It's almost like a dollar has four quarters. So he had a quarter on him. He had a quarter. Now, you know, it was a more significant amount of money, but he had a silver quarter on him. Nasati Leisha Elokim, he gid lanam es darkeinu. So he says, you know, I'll give that to Shmuel. That'll be the payment. I'll give that to Shmuel, and then he'll be able to help us and tell us, you know, maybe where the donkeys are.
Hey, plus one more zuz, and he could have bought a donkey.
Sorry?
One more zuz, and he can buy the donkey from Chad Gadja.
Very good. Now, Pasuk Tes says, Lefanim b'Yisrael, ko amar ha'ish. Now, originally, the Pasuk says, originally, in B'nai Yisrael, a person who would go to seek out the man of Hashem, ko amar ha'ish b'lechto lidrosh elokim, when a person would go seek out Hashem, this is what he would say, originally in B'nai Yisrael, they would call him the Roe. They would call the prophet, they would call him the Roe. Hayom yikare lefanim. I'm sorry. Kila Navi hayom yikare lefanim haroe. Because to the Navi today, they used to call him the Roe. So at that time, it sounds like they called this person, they called the prophet a Navi. Earlier, they called the prophet Aroa. Now we'll see a little bit about that. The Radak says that until Shmuel arrived, again, Nevuah was very uncommon. Whatever prophets were around were called Roim. They were called Roim. Once Shmuel came onto the scene, then they were referred to as Nevi'im. Why? So the Radak says that the word Navi comes from the word Niv, Niv Sfasayim. It's related to the word Niv Sfasayim, which means speech. The purpose of a Navi was not just to see the future, but the purpose of a Navi was to communicate a certain message, a certain vision to B'nai Yisrael. That was the purpose of the Navi. Okay. Pasuk Yud. And then we're going to come back and we're going to see these psukim in a little bit of a different light. By Yomer Shaul and Aro. So Shaul says to the Nar, you know what? It's not a bad idea. Tov Devarcha. That's a good idea. It's a good idea you have. Nelcha, Lacha Nelcha, let's go. And they go to the city where Shmuel resides. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Heima Oli Memale Ha'ir. So they're coming up the road to the city. The Heima Matsu Na'aros Yotzos Lishov Mayim. And all of a sudden they bump into a group of girls who are coming out to draw water. Vayomru Lahem. So Shaul and his servant turn to these girls and they say to them, Hayesh Bazeh Haroah. You know, does the Navi reside in this town? Is he here? Pasuk Yud Beis, Vata'anena Osam. So they answer them, Vatomarna, and they say, Yesh, he's here. Hine lefanecha, here he is before you, Maher, hurry up. Ata, hurry up, right now, you got to go to him. Ki hayom ba le'ir, he just got to the city today. Because today he's being makriv a karban for the nation on the bama. Now, if you remember with the bama, This was after the destruction of Shiloh. Originally, right? Shiloh was the place of the Mishkan. As soon as the Aron was removed from Shiloh, Shiloh loses its Kedusha as the Mishkan. At this point, then Bamos become permissible. Bamos are basically individual, Mizbeach, individual altars. That if somebody was allowed to create a Mizbeach, to build a Mizbeach in their backyard and bring a Karban, that's called a Bama. So Bamos were allowed at this point. And people would come. And they would want Shmuel to be involved in bringing a Karban on a Bama. And then they would eat. It was a Karban Shlomim. And a part of a Karban Shlomim can be eaten by the owners, by the Bamos. So they would eat part of that Karban. Okay? So that's what they're telling Shaul and his servant. Now it's interesting. The Radak points out that the pasuk says Hineg lefanecha, which is in the singular, but they were talking to two people, Shaul and the servant. So why do they only speak in the singular lefanecha? So he says that they really directed their speech only to Shaul. Why? Because they could tell he was the more chashuv one. The servant, I guess, looked like a servant. And Shaul looked like someone more regal, someone more, a little bit more distinguished. And therefore, they directed their response to Shaul and kind of ignored the servant, the Nar, on the side. The Radak also says that Chazal darshan from the word yesh, atomarna yesh. So they said, yes, he's here. Simple understanding is that, yes, he's here in the city. But the Radak says that Yesh also refers to the fact that there was a cloud above the entrance of Shmuel's home. It was a cloud that just kind of hovered above the entrance. We know that that a cloud hovering above something is a sign of Hashras Hashchina. The Mishkan had a cloud that hovered over it, the Pasuk says. And when Hashem Shechina was there, that's where the cloud was. We find also in Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina came down to Har Sinai, we find clouds descended upon the mountain. And also we know when it comes to Sarah Imenu, by one of the miracles of Sarah's tent that Rashi describes is that there was a cloud, Anan Kashur, there was a cloud that was always kind of hovering above her tent, and that the cloud hovering is always a sign of Hashras Hashchina. So the drasha here says the Radak is that Shmuel had a cloud that was hovering above his home, above his doorway. And that was the way that people recognized, where Shmuel's home was because of this miraculous cloud that was hovering there. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Kivoachem ha'ir keintin tzu'uno sof. Now the ladies are here are still talking. And the Ratak and other Mefarshim, really on the heels of Chazal, ask, why are they talking so much? What are these girls talking so much? They asked him a very simple question. Shaul and his servant asked a very simple question. Does the Navi live here? Right? Hayesh Bazel, what was the language? Hayesh Bazel Haroa. Three words, right? Does the Navi live here? All they had to say was, yes, he lives here. Right? They start giving them advice. You got to go quickly. He just came to town today. They're bringing a karban. Not only that, but they continue. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So as soon as you get into the city, you'll find him. But you got to hurry up and go before he goes up to the bama to eat. You got to hurry up and go catch him. Because the people are not going to eat until he arrives, until he comes. Because he's going to literally to bless the sacrifice, to bless the karma. And then those that are invited will eat. The ata alu, and right now you should go up. Because today you're going to find him. Right now you'll be able to find him. Okay. So first of all, what were they talking so much? So the Radak quotes Chazal, who give two explanations as to why they were talking so much. One explanation was that they wanted to gaze at him. They wanted to gaze at him. Shaul was a very good-looking guy, and they were kind of like a googly-eyed, talking to him, And they were just gazing at him as they were talking. So they kept talking, you know, they kept talking and talking and talking, just kind of as an excuse to talk to Shaul, kind of like, you know, almost like, you know, you think about Lahavdil, like the movies, you know, they're just talking just to talk, just to be in their company. But the second point, which is even more fascinating, which will lead us to the Malbim, is that the Radak says that this was a divinely orchestrated delay. This was a divinely orchestrated delay. Why? Because it was not yet time for Shaul to meet Shmuel. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, Ka'es Machar, which means this time tomorrow. And it wasn't yet that time. So therefore, it wasn't yet the appropriate time for Shmuel and Shaul to meet. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divinely orchestrated a delay where these girls would end up, you know, schmoozing with Shaul, a divinely orchestrated delay to make sure that it wouldn't happen at the right time. I mean, that it would happen, I'm sorry, at the right time. Now, this whole thing with the Suda is kind of strange here. You know, it almost sounds like he's blessing the sacrifice. To me, that's like, you know, people, you know, the non-Jews in the restaurants think that the Mashiach comes and blesses the food, you know, and that's why, that's what makes it kosher that you can eat it. Right? That's what I thought when I read this. You know, what's he doing here? You know, Shmuel is blessing the sacrifice? What is that supposed to mean? So it's interesting. The Radak says, you know, they made a whole suit out of this. They had a, you know, it's a carbon shlomim, and everybody was eating the carbon shlomim. So they made a suda, and when they made a suda, so they would wash. Now, who would make the hamotzi, right? Who would make the hamotzi? Shmuel, he was the gadol ador, right? So at this big suda where they brought a carbon, and everybody was eating from the meat of the shlomim, so Shmuel was the one who would make the hamotzi. Now it's interesting, but the pasuk doesn't talk about the hamotzi. The pasuk talks about a bracha on the zevach, on the karba. Okay, so he says that the Radak offers two explanations. Either that even though the bracha really was hamotzi, that's the bracha that they would make on the bread, but he says nevertheless the main part of this meal was the karba. That's why it says kihu yivarech hazevach. You know, even though he wasn't really making a bracha, he wasn't making a shahako on the meat of the sacrifice, but since the sacrifice was the main part of the meal, so therefore it says kihu yivarech hazevach. Another fascinating thing, which I seem to recall in the recesses of my mind, but I haven't read this in a long time. It surprised me. But when you eat a carbon shlomim, you actually make a bracha, a berchas hamitzvah. There's a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos avitzivanu le'echol hazevach, to eat from the carbon. Eating from a carbon is a mitzvah. So just like we're going to make a bracha on Tkiyas Shofar in a little less than a week, so too here. We make a bracha on the eating of the carbon, le'echol hazevach. So he says maybe that's what the pasuk means when it says kihu yivarech hazevach. It means he's making this birchas hamitzvah. Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos avitzivanu le'echol hazevach. That's what it means. Okay. Now the point here also is that Shmuel was going to hurry because he was the one who was leading this Suda. Everybody was waiting for him. Nobody was going to eat before Shmuel got there. And therefore Shmuel was not going to, you know, hang around. He was going to hurry to make sure he got to this Suda on time so that he wouldn't be holding up the crowd. And that's why the girls are telling Shaul and the servant, you got to hustle. You got to hurry and catch him because if you miss him, he's going to be at the Suda and he's not going to be able to help you. Okay. Pasuk Yudalet. Vayalu ha'ir hema, so they went up to the city, right? Shaul and the servant take off. You know, I guess they start running and they go towards the city. Hema ba'im b'soch ha'ir. As soon as they enter the city, yinei Shmuel yotzei likrasam. Shmuel is coming out to greet them. Now the Mefarshim point out here, it doesn't mean literally he was coming out to greet them. Shmuel did not know they were coming, even though he was a Navi. The Navim don't know everything. So Shmuel didn't necessarily know that they were coming. He was going out, la'alos hababa. He was going out to the mizbeach to bring this carbon and get the party started, you know, to start the suda. But he just happened to come out at the same time, at that right moment, when Shaul and the Nar are coming into the city. Okay, now I want to pause here because this is a fantastic pasuk, which really sets the tone of all of the previous psukim according to the understanding of the Malbim. And the Malbim says, you know, you read this storyline, and it seems like a very simplistic, mundane storyline. You know, Shaul is going to to find these donkeys. His father loses the donkeys. He goes to find the donkeys. He's got this servant. They search high and they search low. They can't find anything. Finally, he convinced him to go. You know, they're right near Shmuel's house. So the Nahar says, why don't you go to Shmuel and ask him? So Shaul says, nah. And then Shaul says, okay, fine, we'll go. They go. They talk to these girls. It sounds like a very mundane storyline, almost not a very exciting storyline. But the Malbim says that this last point really sets the tone for this whole parak. Why? It just so happens that as soon as Shaul and the Nahar come into the city, right then, Yinei Shmuel Yotze Likrasa. Now, I ask you, is that a coincidence? I think not, right? And of course, in Judaism, there's no coincidences. Says the Malbim that this entire story was divinely orchestrated. Not just like we said, that the delay of game with the girls, that they were schlepping along and, you know, schmoozing with the shuttle. Every step of this story was divinely orchestrated to ensure the proper meeting at the right time and under the right circumstances between Shmuel, who was the Navi, and Shaul, who's going to be the first king. So everything is divinely orchestrated. Let's go back. We're not going to read every single pasuk inside, but let's just go back and explain a little bit about what the Malbim says. So number one, the Malbim says, losing of the donkeys. The Malbim says, this wasn't just the donkeys happened to wander away. Right? People don't often lose their donkeys. Says the Malbim, this was divinely orchestrated. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused this to happen. Not only that, but he makes a deal in Pasuk Gimel that it says Vatovad Ha'asonos Likish with the Lamed, and he says that's a strange way of writing it. Usually, you would say Vatovad Ha'asonos Mekish, right? That the donkeys were lost from Kish. Why does it say Likish with the Lamed? So he says because this was all because of Kish, because Kish was the father of Shaul. That's why the donkeys disappeared. In order to set this whole story into motion and get Shaul to meet Shmuel. So this was really like almost like the domino effect. And this was the first domino to go down, that these donkeys went missing. Kish's donkeys went missing. Not only that, but number two, says the Malbim, who should Kish have sent if he lost his donkeys? His son or his servants? Says the Malbim, why would he send his son? He should send his servants. He's got servants. Obviously, there are servants here. We talk about this Nahar. So he has servants. So if you have servants, send the servants to go look for the donkey. You're going to send your son to look high and low. They're going to go Har Ephraim, all these different, they went far away to look for these donkeys. You're not going to send your son. You're going to send your servants. So the fact that he sent his son was also part of the Hashgacha Pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was divinely orchestrating this story. Number three, the Pasuk says that they went all over the place. Says the Malbim, that's strange. Donkeys don't travel that far. So if they were looking for the donkeys, they should have really stayed close. Why are they going to these faraway lands? Says the Malbim, Hashgacha. This is the Hashgacha, Pratis, divinely orchestrated. Hashem put in their minds to go search in these faraway lands, Har Ephraim, Eretz Shalisha. They went to all these places. Of course, the Malbim makes the Yukim in the Pasuk, that in Pasuk Dalet it says, Vayavor, 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 Bahar Ephraim, Vayavor, Eretz Shalisha. So he says, what's the Pshat? Why does it say it in the singular? Because they had clues that maybe they were in these places, so they split up. Shaul says, I'll go this way. He tells the Nahar, you go that way, and let's look. And they didn't find anything. When they got to Sha'alim, it's Vayavru. It's the plural. Why? Because there, they didn't find any clues, so they just walked together. They didn't find any clues there. Now, continues the Malbim, and he says, Hema Balbi Eretz Tzuf. Again, no coincidence. This is not a coincidence that they just happened to end up in the city right next to Shmuel. This was divinely orchestrated. This was Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made them end up right next to Shmuel. He says, the Pasuk says that Shmuel was nichbad. Shmuel was honorable. He was distinguished. And he was a Navi, that everything he said came true. He says, listen, at that time, there were some people that were distinguished, but they didn't know any Nevuah. They didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. And there were some people that were sorcerers that had a way of looking into the future, but they weren't distinguished. They were not nichbad. Shmuel was the best of both. Right? He was nichbad. He was distinguished and honorable, and he also was able to see the future. Okay. The Malbim also says that this whole conversation between Shaul and the Nar, you know, we have nothing to bring. We have nothing to bring Shmuel. How can we come to him with nothing to bring? So he says that apparently at that time, the other seers, these other people, would take money for their services. You go, you want to see something, you want to figure something out. So you would go to one of these people, and they would charge you money for the services. If it was somebody chashuv that you're going to, so depending on the chashivus of the person visiting and the person, the host that you're visiting, that will determine the value perhaps of the teshura of this offering that you would offer. The nar, says the Malbim, the young man, this servant, what's his suggestion? His suggestion is, listen, if you go, Shaul, you're chashuv. If you go, you're right, because you're chashuv and you're going to see Shmuel as chashuv, you got to give something. You have to bring an offering. You have to bring it to Shura. But he says, I'm not so chashuv. I'm just a slave. I'm just a servant. So if I go this quarter, right, the Reva Shekel Kesef that I have, that's enough. So he says, I'm going to go and give this quarter, and that'll be fine, and I'm going to ask Shmuel. The Malbim also explains that this is the difference between a Navi and a Roeh. A Navi was only focused on the nation as a whole. In fact, most of the focus of a Navi was on giving the people tochacha, rebuking the people for their evil ways and telling them they have to do tshuva. That was the purpose of a Navi. Malbim says people used to run the other way when they saw a Navi, right? Why? Because the Navi was telling them all the things that they did wrong and the punishments they were coming to them. The Roeh was a person who would help even individuals with Ruach HaKodesh. The Roeh had Ruach HaKodesh, and he would be helping even individuals. So if you lost your donkeys, right, and you wanted an answer as to where the donkeys went, so you would be going to the Roeh, not necessarily to the Navi. But here, Shmuel was the person. He was the one, the Roeh and the Navi. So they're referring to him as a Roeh because that's really what they want. They want something individual. They want something that seems like a simplistic request. But in the end, he was the Nafi. Shaul says it's a great idea. You know, if you go, you're right. You're a servant. You're not chashuv. You don't have to pay them that much. So you go. Okay. This was also Ashgacha. Says the Malbim. This was Ashgacha. Hashem divinely orchestrated that the Nar thought of this idea to go to Shmuel. That he convinced Shaul. Shaul didn't want to go. Shaul said, we have nothing to give him. He convinced Shaul of this idea. Let me go. I'm only a servant and I'll go and I'll give him something small, and that'll be fine. That was also the Hashgachas Hashem. And finally, says the Malbim, and this is what some of the other Mefarshim were saying also, the girls intercepting or meeting Shaul and the Nar outside of the city and delaying them is, of course, finally, is of course Hashgacha as well. Because again, they needed Shmuel and Shaul to meet at the right moment, Ka'es Machar, 24 hours from the day before when Hashem said to Shmuel, you're going to meet the person who's going to be the next king. So it had to be exactly that. It had to be exactly that. And then finally, the Malbim says they offered him, you know, that again, these girls offered all this extra information because, again, this was divinely orchestrated. Kadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating this to make sure that they arrived at the exact right time.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Before you said, you mentioned that Shmuel didn't know that Shaul was coming. But now you just said, and Maim Loa says that Hashem spoke to Shmuel the day before and told him that I'm sending you Shaul and to be the king.
Yes. So you're 100% right. He did get that Nevuah. Shmuel did get the Nevuah the day before that in 24 hours, you're going to meet the king. He didn't know about this particular person, meaning he knew that he's going to meet the king at some point, but he didn't know, you know, who it was, where he was coming from, anything like that. So the fact that Shaul's coming into the city now, Shmuel didn't know that the future king's coming into the city. He just knows that, okay, any minute now, I'm going to bump into the next king. And boom, he comes out, and this fellow Shaul is walking into the city, and they cross paths right at the exact moment. And that's the finale of the Hashgachas Hashem bringing Shaul and Shmuel together. The important lesson for us, of course, is that you see that this is true in all of our lives. We don't always see it. But says the Malbim, if you look deeply enough, you know, you can read this story and read it on a very simple level. And this was just a simple story, a very simple unfolding of a plot. And boom, you know, they met. It was coincidence. You could read the whole parak as coincidence. But says the Malbim, Chas V'Shalom, is no coincidence. Everything is divinely orchestrated. Everything is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting all the pieces into place. He's the Mesavev, Hasibos, as the Malbim calls him. He's the one who's causing everything to happen. And it's just a matter of, you know, hitting one domino, it hits the other domino, hits the other domino, and everything is in the right place, boom. And then it happens. And that's really what all of our lives are like. But we can look at our lives and we can just see, oh, coincidence, coincidence, coincidence. But in reality, it's the Yad Hashem moving all the pieces into place and causing all of the things that happen to happen to us in our lives to make sure that we live our destiny, just like Shaul is living his destiny to become the next Jewish king. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.